And the Pharisees, seeing it, said, Why doth your master eat with publicans and sinners? But Jesus, hearing it, said, For I am not come to call the just, but sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You stink, and you need to go and wash yourself. Bishop Dolan recently told this story to the kids in school during the sermon of how St. Joseph Cupertino, our flying saint and patron of pilots, would often blurt out these words in a childlike way, that is, without any human respect whatsoever. He would say them to certain people, sinners, with whom he came into contact. Well, when he was telling this story, one of our little schoolboys, one of the new ones, enjoyed the thought of this so much, telling someone how much they stink, that he began squirming in his pew so that Miss Patton had to hold him down, hold him still by his shoulders. After all, there's a little bit of an excuse there, perhaps, because I think to tell someone how much they stink for any 8-year-old boy, that is probably number 3 on the top 10 list of best things to do. But in any case, St. Joseph didn't do it as an insult, but rather he could actually smell the stench of a soul in the state of sin. He would tell them, you need to bathe your soul in the confessional. Now, if a cute newborn child defiled not by actual, but by only original sin is so displeasing, spiritually speaking, in the sight of Almighty God, then what must be the stench of a soul rotting in mortal sin? St. Bonaventure gives us some idea. He talks about the reprobate, and he says that the body of a single reprobate would so taint the air on earth as to cause the death of all living beings coming near it. So that gives us an idea of the stench of sin. I wonder then, what stench must have emanated from the room as our Lord gently opened the door of the room where St. Matthew, today's saint, was sitting, greedily counting all of his money so unjustly gained over the years. It was that stench of the sin of injustice that the Savior must have noticed. Yet notice he didn't cover his nose. He didn't walk away. He pushed the door wide open, and he pointed, You, follow me. And the apostle, the future apostle, took one look at our Lord and glanced back at his money that he had taken, and he left it all behind, his sins, his money, and everything, to follow the Savior. And the rest, as they say, is really history. He is now one of the greatest saints on our Catholic calendar. Well, in this incident, one sees the manner in which our Lord deals with sinners. And the gospel of today's feast also illustrates this same lesson. We have, though, here in the gospel, our Lord's very own words. The Pharisees, hypocrites that they were, and filled with pride, could not understand why our Lord was doing what he was doing. Why does he eat, they said to the disciples, why does he eat with publicans and sinners? Their complaint might have been slightly justified had our Lord been doing that alone, ignoring and glossing over the fact that stared him in the face, that yes, indeed, these men with whom he ate were sinners. But our Lord answered why he was doing that. He said to the Pharisees, They that are in health need not a physician, but they that are ill. Go, he said to them, and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the just, but sinners. Now, if these foul odors of a single sinful soul were so offensive to a St. Joseph Cupertino, what do you think our Lord would smell were he to walk into our homes today, or to walk through the streets of our cities and our countries, with so many souls dead to the life of God's sanctifying grace and rotting like spiritual corpses? But many of these souls out there would go and wash themselves clean were there but somebody out there to tell them how much they stink. And by now, though, you're all familiar with Bergoglio's quote, it might as well be on his coat of arms, "Who am I to judge?" This man, were he but a true shepherd of our Lord, did he have but only an ounce of the zeal for the conversion of sinners that our Lord had, then he would realize that he is here to continue this mission of Christ to call sinners to repentance. But instead, he extols what is a vice as virtue, and what is really virtuous, he condemns as a vice. And because of this, what happens? The stench of sin continues to contaminate the air, growing stronger and more ripe at every hour. Well, years ago, before the modern-day shower came to be, people would, instead of washing when they stink and getting rid of the odor, they would just simply splash on some different types of perfumes and simply mask it, cover it all up, if even that. Sometimes it made it even more offensive, but we'll let that be. Bergoglio and his modernist "who am I to judge" religion does the same thing, never insisting that the sinner gives up his sins. He only seeks to excuse, to cover up, and to mask over the sins of the world. If you've been following the news lately, you'll see that there's much talk in the Novus Ordo world of what Bergoglio will do come October with the synod that they've called, what he will do concerning the administration of the sacraments to the divorced and the remarried. Right now in the Novus Ordo, it's cardinal against cardinal. It's one parish priest against another. It's conservatives against liberals all over again. It is they who are sticking to the traditional rules concerning divorce and remarriage against those who want a more liberal view on this whole situation. In fact, Bergoglio, we learned, has all of his men in place, and one cardinal, we suspect, Cardinal Burke, who had a more conservative view on divorce and remarriage, was demoted. And Cardinal Casper, a true modernist through and through, wrote up his document of why the divorced and the remarried should be permitted to go to the sacraments. This whole politically correct idea in the Novus Ordo and in modern culture, this live and let live, both within and without this the false religion, destroys this whole notion of mercy. And it destroys the whole plan of God toward the conversion of sinners. The world today would have excused the adultery of the woman at the well or the other woman who was caught in adultery, but our Lord mercifully said to them, to the one, "He whom thou now hast is not thy husband," and to the other, "Go and sin no more." God proved by his actions and his words that he didn't come to excuse us, he didn't come to gloss over our sins, but he came to pull the sinner away from his sins, that he might live a just and virtuous life in the sight of God. But the modern world and the modern religion denies any objective moral standards, and it refuses to judge that something can be sinful, objectively speaking. And therefore, the goal of Christ to call the sinner out of his sins is lost sight of. And what is worse, the Novus Ordo religion might give communion to the divorced and the remarried, thus not bringing them out of their sins, but confirming them deeper and deeper in their life of mortal sin. We condemn this modern mentality in our society today a lot, don't we? Well, rightfully so. There are a lot of bad things. But what is your attitude toward mercy? What is it in your mind? What do you think it is? Is it to allow a loved one who's living a sinful life to continue on just because, well, who am I to judge? Or to allow them to continue their life of sin because I've been through it all too in my younger days, so I can't really say anything. And besides, it's only a stage. It'll pass on its own. Or maybe because you fear to lose their respect or their love or to lose them. Maybe you fear that they'll walk out of your life completely. This is not true mercy, to simply overlook the sins of mankind. True mercy causes us to look far above the temporal goods of this life, far into eternity, and to care more for their soul than for your relationship. Because remember that though you might lose a friend here and there because you've had to fraternally correct them, you'll gain them as a friend for all eternity, and they'll be very grateful. They need someone to tell them how much they stink. But then that truth remains that before we can tell someone else to wash away their stench, we've got to take care of our own first. How often the good Savior, in his mercy, has called us out of that dunghill of sin. As it says in the book of Psalms, he has called them out of the dung heap and made him a prince of his people. Look into your life and see if this is not the case. Where were you, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago? Maybe you were steeped in an adulterous life. Maybe through sloth you neglected your Sunday obligation or your Easter duty and sort of blew off confession. There's no need for that. Or maybe you were just comfortable. You were cozy in that Novus Ordo religion simply because there is no one that will condemn you. You're doing just fine there. But now our Lord has called you away from all of that. He's cleaned you up and washed your soul off. And now you must remain clean and must keep yourselves clean by means of the sacramentals used very piously and devoutly, spiritual reading that keeps your ideals in the spiritual life on a high level, your meditation, your daily prayers. All these are ways to keep clean. But God forbid that you should ever fall back into that pile of stench in your sins. Then you must wash, as St. Joseph Cupertino said, wash yourselves in the blood of Christ that flows from the confessional, remembering always that anecdote of St. Therese. When she was a child, she accidentally tore off a tiny piece of the wallpaper in her kitchen home. She fretted about it the whole day long because her father was gone. And she got it in her mind that she must tell her father. Come what may, she's got to confess her guilt right away. And so as soon as he came in through the doors after a long day's work, she immediately ran up to him, confessed what she had done, and was forgiven. It seems like a petty thing to mention in a sermon, until you realize what was really in that little girl's mind. She realized that if she were quick to admit her guilt, then she would be more quickly forgiven. This is, I think, the moral of today's gospel, that our Lord came to call the sinner. Well, if you have no sin to admit that you are guilty of, then what use have you for our Lord? In order to obtain mercy, there must be first a sin. And you see the mercy of our Lord in the confessional. Go there and admit you stink. You must go there to wash in the blood of Christ. And in this way, you'll always find the mercy of God. And then in eternity, you will say, as the Psalms do, the mercies of the Lord I will sing forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.